Okay, so that's... We didn't do a clap last time because I always check to see whose clap is bigger.
And we didn't do a clap
last time. And I think that's where we went wrong.
That must have been what happened.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Well, welcome everybody to finally another brand new episode of Green Collar Podcast. Your favorite podcast by fans for fans. Just came up with that off the top of my head.
You should give yourself a pat on the back. That was pretty impressive.
I am Bash Brother Ira, sitting across from the very handsome
Bash Brother Valdez.
And we're here to talk about the Oakland A's. Wah, wah. So I was listening to the last podcast that you and I did the last time around, and there was so much optimism.
Like in the 90s?
Like a month ago. Yeah. So full disclosure, y'all, we actually did a podcast a couple weeks ago. As we had announced, our schedule was going to be kind of busy for the both of us, which it was. But we had done a podcast to break up, you know,
the
what
craziness
is now like a four-week stretch where we haven't seen each other. And due to a technical glitch, we lost half of the audio.
So, serious question. Do you think the A's are doing so poorly right now
because
we haven't been recording
this
podcast?
That's what I'm saying.
I was
thinking about this. I was thinking about what a crazy up and down year it's been. And Ken Korak has not been calling A's games the entire time. I think it's Ken's fault.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not his fault, poor guy, recovering from, you know, knee surgery, but...
He should have waited till after the season.
Obviously, he was the linchpin, man.
Not really.
Holding us together. So, you know, let's jump right into it, Joe.
Let's
we might
do
as
it.
Well talk about all the ugliness to start with. We just got swept by the Mariners. Today, we were up against King Felix. It was Chavez up against... King Felix, and we lost, which isn't all that surprising, but what is more surprising is that we got swept. I mean, I guess not surprising given how just legitimately poorly we have played. But still, I mean, this is a road trip, Joe, where, let's see, it was a 7-game road trip and we went 1-6. We've lost 5 in a row.
The frustrating thing for me is that these are games that we should be winning, some of them at least.
Yeah, both, you know. Dude, both the Twins and, well, the Twins were actually on an upswing because they had just won a series against somebody. I could look that up, but I know the talk of us going into that 4-game series in Minnesota was that the Twins were actually starting to play well. But the Mariners up until we played them were in last place below us.
Yeah,
and they swept
us. I think we were in competition for like the worst bullpens, right?
Because the Mariners had really struggled with their bullpen, which we actually saw in this series. I mean, we were able to score some runs on their bullpen, but
we got a run in the ninth today.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Stephen Vogt has 8 home runs.
Yeah.
So before we will get to some positive stuff, but before we get to that, I mean, the first real big topic of the day today is what is wrong with this team? You know, I was looking at stats. Our offense is still like a top 5 offense. I think that's the American League. I don't think that's baseball overall. But we've got to be still averaging somewhere near the 5 runs a game mark, or 4.5, or whatever that is.
According to stats, ESPN sortable stats, we are number 9 in MLB in batting.
Okay, and
that's that's in doubles.
Yeah. Well, doubles.
No wonder it was so positive.
I bet you that our overall runs scored. We're not talking batting average. We're not talking on base percentage. It's runs. I mean,
we're number 4.
That is the final number in offense.
Number four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In all of baseball.
Of course, you know, most of those runs have come in like 7 games when we've scored.
Well,
like
but
10
that's
runs.
But that's actually not true. Like we really here's what I want to say on that. I legitimately believe that after around the 30-day mark, you basically know who your team is. And our team, and that hurts to say because we're so bad right now, But that also, there's another way to look at that, and I truly believe in our offense. Barring injuries, obviously. But we have enough talent up and down that lineup that we've been able to rotate people through their hot spells and their cold spells. Like, you know, we were being carried by Billy Butler, Ike Davis, you know, those guys in the middle of the order, and they're really cold right now. But Josh Reddick has stepped up, and Marcus Semien hit 2 home runs today. He's hitting over 300. You know, like, we've been able to, and then Vogt has just been off the chain the whole time. I mean, I truly believe in our offense, and that makes what's happening even more frustrating right now.
Well, I think that the biggest problem right now, I mean, there's a lot of problems, but if you look at our stats, you look at our bullpen, we are last in the American League, second to last in the MLB in bullpen ERA. We have given up 57 earned runs, and that's just the bullpen alone.
Yeah, and then you were telling
61
me
61 runs.
61 overall.
Yeah, 61 overall.
Think about that. That means 4 of those runs have been unearned. That's it. Because that's the next thing we'll talk about is defense. But that is almost like 95% is on squarely on the shoulders of our relievers.
Absolutely.
They've been absolutely atrocious.
And you look at our starting pitching, it's not the best in the world. But, I mean, we're still 7th
right,
in the league with a 3.66 ERA. Given up quite a few runs.
And that's after this last week or so that the starting pitching really kind of struggled for the first time. I mean, you and I talked about, while we were kind of planning today's podcast out, about Kaz really got lit up in, you know, and that was the first time that he'd gotten lit up this year. Jesse Chavez was good today, but his last start was not so good, you know. The starting pitching, the argument I would make has actually been above average up until recently because of how bad the bullpen and defense have been. And that puts pressure on everybody. And I wouldn't be surprised to see our offense start to crumble because of that pressure. Because it's like there's nothing, even when we're doing one aspect of our game well, it's not counting for anything.
I don't know, man. This, I have to say, this is the first year I do not feel confident at all in our starting pitching. I think that we have one solid starting pitching that I feel confident can be, or who I feel confident can be any team in this league, and that's Sonny Gray. Everybody else has been so inconsistent that it's hard for me to rally behind them. When was the last time that the A's have been this bad?
Susan Slusser was just tweeting about that in terms of record. We're off to our worst start since 1994.
Ooh, that was a rough year. That was the year of Geronimo Barroa, I think.
I think that was the year that we lost La Russa.
Lance Blankenship.
Nah, maybe that happened in 95.
It was right when that collapse
was happening.
Yeah. The days of Ruben Sierra. Geronimo Barroa might have been a couple seasons after.
Up until today, we were on pace with the 2001 team. We're one game off the pace of the 2001 team. So, I mean,
this is a brand new team, though. I mean, there was a lot of changing parts. So, I still think we need to give it until the end of June.
But, dude, I honestly don't think that's what it is. If you look at who is blowing this team up, it's Dan Otero. It's Abad. It's Ryan Cook was absolutely atrocious and had to get sent down, came up, was even worse and had to get sent down again. Tyler Clippard has been solid. Evan Scribner had been solid comparatively, but he was always kind of the extra man on the roster anyway. And all of a sudden he's being asked to hold down the eighth inning to get it to Clippard, you know. We're not able to have either Pomeranz or Chavez in our bullpen. It's the guys that have been really screwing us have been the guys that were already on our roster. Our newcomers have played solidly, except
Alvarez.
On defense. RJ Alvarez.
Alvarez is
a new guy, and he's been
Ricky
horrible.
Ricky Vaughn impersonation.
And he was coming to step in and basically replace Gregerson, and that has not. I mean, who would have thought Gregerson would have been such an important piece in our bullpen? It's just been a dumpster fire. And then there's defense.
Pitching is supposed to be our strength.
Yeah. And then there's defense. I mean, we were not a great defensive team last year. But you and I talked about that. I don't know. I don't think it was the last podcast we did, but the one before that, about how you and I were both concerned. I was a little more concerned than you are, and it looks like it was for good reason, because we lead the major leagues in errors. And we had another one today.
Who was
On Semien, I want to say. We could look that up.
I think he's leading the league in
at
errors.
Shortstop, at his position.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I think, is it just shortstop, or is it the entire league?
Oh, I don't know that. All I saw was that he was leading the league at his position. At his position. Yeah. But he might be overall. That may be true.
Do you think it's fixable?
Yeah. So that gets
should we get Ron Washington on the horn and...
That's so funny you mentioned that. I literally tweeted that today on our Twitter account. And someone else came up with the idea of Mark Ellis. But yes, I think the defense has to be addressed. I definitely think the defense is being magnified because of how bad the pitching has been, for sure. Because it's not like
the pitching is not
going to
bail
give
you
up
out.
An unearned run, but they haven't been able to. Yeah, they have not been able to bail them out. Specifically, starters. I mean, if we're looking at how many unearned runs we've given up, I bet it's somewhere near the top of the league. And we just looked at the bullpen stats. That's not on the bullpen. So it's not like the defense is making the bullpen look bad. The defense is making the starters look bad. So the fix is with the bullpen. Now, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, if we can just hang on until Sean Doolittle can get back. Well, obviously, we're not hanging on until Doo gets back. Number two, I do not think that is sufficient. I mean, nobody else in our bullpen has proven to be reliable. And the people that we're calling up, I mean, it's a great story to get this guy Angel, I want to say Angel Castro, but that's not his name. This 32-year-old that we just called up and made his major league debut last night.
Great story.
We'll call him Angel. His name is Angel. I can't remember what his last name is. I mean, it's a great story, but dude, he's a 32-year-old pitcher that has never pitched in the major leagues, and that's who we're calling up to dump water on this dumpster fire. That is
I really
our bullpen.
Think they should
it's
just,
a problem.
I really think they should just hold auditions outside of the Coliseum and just bring.
So, yeah, like the Eagles. Someone was mentioning that right. Like the other day. I mean, when Ike Davis has been our shutdown reliever. I think that happened since the last time we podcasted that Ike Davis went into that just crazy, like couldn't get somebody out for the life of us and struck out the side. That was against the Angels, right? I can't remember.
I think it was, yeah.
So anyway, so you're asking me, how do I fix it? This is what I think my solution is. Before I get too long-winded, I think we need a left-handed specialist that gets left-handers out at a ridiculous rate, because that's who Abad used to be. Like, our Jerry Blevins. When our bullpen was good, Jerry Blevins was our left-handed man. And number two, we need a badass strikeout reliever with crazy Ks per nine. That's what we need.
And how do we get that?
That's the problem. That's the problem.
You have to give up.
We would deal from our strength.
Yeah, you
right?
have to give
and
up a good hitter.
And we would give up offense. Yeah, a couple offensive pieces. And then it's like, well, is it even worth it? Because then we don't have the offensive power, you know, that we had before. And there are still question marks long term with our starting pitching because
of
how many young arms we have.
If we continue going this route, we're going to have a huge dumpster fire sale anyway. Half of these guys are going to be gone.
Right. Well, that's the question. That's giving up on the season. What I'm saying is...
No, but that's the question. Do you trade at a point of strength now to try to save the season? Or do you just wait to see if the ship rights itself? And then
man, that's a good debate because I don't know because this bullpen is fixable. If we get those two, if we can get two pieces, a left-hander to get lefties out and are able to get a strikeout thrower to get strikeouts when we need it, then Tyler Clippard is more than capable of holding down the eighth inning. Sean Doolittle is more than capable of closing, and those two can flip-flop based on when somebody struggles. And then you get Abad pushed back into situations where it doesn't matter as much if he gives up a run because we're behind anyway. He gets, you know, into the situations where we're trying to keep it close. You've got Otero that can be in the same position until he figures his sinker back out, because that's his problem. His sinker's not sinking. And then the other big piece is getting either a Jesse Chavez or Pomeranz back into the bullpen. Those, because they're essentially two-pitch pitchers.
Well, that's the thing.
They get exposed long-term.
But who are you going to replace these players with? The cupboard is bare. You look at the minor league stats, everybody has a 95.5 ERA. I don't think that stat makes sense, but it's ridiculous.
What I'm saying is, it is that with two pieces coming in that can hold down the fort, then that gives you the flexibility that you need, where we can hopefully get a Jesse Hahn on track. I don't know how Graveman is pitching, but Bassett has shown spurts of actually being able to pitch up. The last outing he had was a little rough, but before that he'd been pretty good. I mean, you can, if you've got a front starting three, which we actually have right now in Kaz, Chavez, and Sonny, then you can do some mixing and matching, some sending down and calling up with those other couple slots to get by. But as it is, there's nobody in the bullpen except for Tyler Clippard and Evan Scribner that have a sub like 6 ERA.
Even Scribner gave up a couple runs yesterday, right?
Yeah, even he gave up. But he's still got a respectable ERA because he'd been decent before that.
You have Doolittle coming back. But I mean, that's one. That's one guy.
Everybody else is
Zobrist, but that's horrible. Gonna. I mean, we're hitting decently, so that's not gonna make a huge difference.
Yeah.
So the pitching really concerns me. It really does.
Me too. And I think there's a legitimate chance that it blows up our season. That this bullpen meltdown blows up our season. So let's talk about the good things then. So we talked about the offense. The offense has been good. The call-up of Billy Burns has been really exciting.
Hey, who called that, man?
We both did. I mean, we were both right on
that. He should have been in
that
lineup on opening day.
Absolutely. I completely
agree. Do you
think
because we won on opening day, it's kind of changed the A's universe, and now we can't buy a win?
Yeah. I don't know, man. But Burns, these are the concerns that I have about Burns, is that he's such a slap hitter that outfield is going to come further and further and further inside. And he has not shown yet at all the ability to drive a ball. I don't mean hit a home run. He's obviously not going to hit home runs.
He's hit some line drives though.
A couple, but almost all of his hits have been of the slap variety. And if you are a one-dimensional hitter, that comes back to bite you. So that's the only concern that I have about Billy Burns.
Not a huge walk total either.
Right.
And that's concerning.
That though, I'm not as concerned and I'm not saying that I'm super concerned about his hitting style yet either, because it's so early. Like, he really hasn't shown us everything he can do. But he's going to have to walk more, and he's going to have to be able to drive the ball at some points. If he had Eric Sogard's ability to put the bat on the ball plus his slap ability, I mean, he could hit 300, 315 and steal 30 bags. I mean,
and score a bunch of runs.
He's that fast. And he puts that much wood on the ball. He's also looked really good in the outfield. He had a great running catch today. He's had a couple really good catches
this last week.
Yeah, he's a legitimate center fielder. He seems to be taking good routes on the ball. So I am very optimistic about Billy Burns.
I'm also really high on Canna.
I like
his power.
Agreed. I don't think he's going to be an average, you know, average hitter.
I think
he could hit a 260, you know, like a Brandon Moss, and hit 25 home runs. I really do. I'm not nearly as excited about him as I was when he was hitting like 330 over the first two and a half weeks of the season.
But we both knew that wasn't going to last.
I think we're seeing more of the type of hitter that he is.
Yeah.
He's going to have his strikeouts.
But he's still going to hit his home runs,
But he's going to hit his home runs.
He does have legitimate power. And he has
fantastic
1990 Brady Anderson sideburns.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's really taking it back to 1997.
That kind of flare.
That's right.
Down at the bottom. Yeah, so that's what makes it so frustrating for me, is that there are bright spots on this team, and we're terrible.
Oh, man, he is
mashing 8 home runs.
He is so good this year.
Yeah.
26 RBIs. He walks a ton.
Yeah.
He's 14 really walks.
Been amazing. The only knock on Steven Vogt is that I've been watching games and there's been a lot of wild pitches on him. Obviously, they're wild pitches. They're not passed balls. It's not like he's just straight, you know, screwing up. But he really has a hard time. Watch him catch Sonny Gray. He really has a hard time with breaking balls in the dirt.
Do you think that gets better over time?
I hope so.
Do you think that's due to his injury last year?
Yeah, that's valid. That's totally valid. But it is something I've noticed. Because I know that I've watched a few more games than you've been able to in the past few weeks, and that's something I did notice. So that is my one knock on
Steven Vogt. And his arm is a lot better than any catcher that we've had in a while.
You know, I wouldn't say necessarily that he throws that much harder, but he's much more accurate than a Derek Norris. Really, Derek Norris's issue was how fast he was at the transfer. He was just slow.
Hmm.
Who's great at that is Fegley. And Fegley's arm is a legit Thunder cannon.
Thighs.
He can throw really hard. And he's really fast with the transfer.
Mm.
Really fast with the transfer. Vogt, I think, still struggles a little bit with the transfer, but he's very accurate. He's not going to throw it as high as Derek Norris always seemed to on the first base side of the bag. You know what I mean? He's much more accurate with his throws. And he's caught a couple runners. He's thrown a couple of them out.
I really have to say that our additions on offense have been really positive as well. Ike Davis,
yeah.
Butler, Semien, although he's terrible in the field offensively, he's been
decent.
Yeah,
even the thing with Semien is you saw that coming because he hasn't played a single position with any regularity. When he was with the position he was playing the most when we picked him up from the White Sox was third base. So there is going to be a learning curve. The reason I give him not a pass... So I don't give him a pass. It's been frustrating to watch him. Yeah, it was Semien. It was a ball hit right to him today, and he caught it mid-hop and just bobbled it. Just bobbled it. It was really frustrating. But we knew there was going to be a learning curve, and he is athletic. He seems to be getting to the ball, which is a big deal. Once you're able to get to the ball, he needs Ron Washington, man, to teach him how to field that position and with his hands, you know, and setting his feet properly. To catch the ball and throw
Where
the ball.
Is Ron Washington?
It's a legit question, man.
He just wants to get away, I think. Yeah. We have Gallego, though, man. I like Gallego a lot. He's a blast from the
Gags
past.
Gags is good, man.
But I'm just not sure he's... I don't know. It just might be an incredibly inexperienced defensive unit, and
what
we just
I'm
need time.
Is, yeah, what I'm saying
Hopefully
is I
that's
hope
what
he
it
can
is.
Get better. I have hope that he will get better. I do. Whether it's in time to save this season?
I don't know.
So moving on to one of our regular and favorite Old Tammy's Baseball Segment. So that's what we have to do now every time we introduce this segment. It's a good one today. We've got to bring some levity and some fun to what is probably going to be such a depressing podcast today. But what, Joe, this was your idea, so why don't you introduce what the old timey.
Okay, so if you could
today.
Make any of our A's players historically into a superhero, who would it be, and what superpower
what
would he have?
Be?
Go.
Well, okay, so the first one, I told you this already when you first mentioned it, but I think it's the best one I've come up with. The first one that came to mind, I think, would be Dave Stewart over the... I'm seeing him up on the mound, peering over the top of his glove with that stare, narrowing his eyes, and he would have laser eyes, and that would be his power. And he would be called... Oh, man. I don't know what he'd be called. He'd be called...
Oh, we didn't say names.
He would be called Laser Stew. That would be his name.
Laser Stew.
Laser Stew. Pew, pew.
I also like the Raleigh Fingers one. Where he had the, you
that
know,
was
he
the
kinda,
other one that came
he, like, he's able
so,
to, like...
Yeah.
Like,
he would
tweak his...
Not
his...
even with his hands. The Raleigh Fingers would just wiggle his mustache with his upper lip, and he would freeze time. And, like,
time
be able to
freeze.
Go... And time would freeze. He'd be able to go around and do stuff.
I think my guy would
be
Eckersley. I think it would be kind of a Mortal Kombat move where he does the point, and it freezes you, and then he does an uppercut, and he breaks
and
you
like,
apart.
And it, breaks your head off.
That's right. He's like, I got you. Boom.
That's almost more video game. But
yeah, it's more
but
video
I, no,
game.
But I
yeah.
dig it.
Yeah, I also, you know, the Ricky Henderson with the kind of the flash. kind of thing, but that's a little too easy.
Like super fast. Or, oh yeah, Ricky or, Speed.
Or you know, Jose Canseco with his incredible Hulk. Steroid.
He would be steroid man.
Steroid induced.
Oh, that's so good. That it would have to be. It would have to be Canseco.
Or we could have
man.
like
instead
Mr.
of
Mr. Burns,
instead of Popeye, he would just pop the top off like a syringe,
little syringe, and steam.
Oh, that's genius.
The dynamic duo. Yeah, of him and McGuire.
And McGuire, that's funny. That's really funny. Good stuff, man. That was fun. That was what this podcast needed. For sure. So then finally, let's do our little bit of crow talk. You're wrong. Crow talk. It's such a stretch to think back to what we predicted last time
I just like to think we were wrong about everything.
We were wrong about everything. Let's put it this way. We were optimistic at the team.
We were really positive with our outlook of what was going to happen.
And we were dead wrong.
We were wrong.
But looking forward, let's transition that straight into predictions for the coming week. So coming up, we've got a homestand coming up. With a day off this week. It's our only day off in May. We've got Kaz going tomorrow, and then after Kaz will be Pomeranz. And then after Pomeranz will be Gray, so Gray will be pitching the day game to finish up that three-game series against Boston. And then we've got three against the White Sox, so that should be Chavez. No. That would be Han. So then that should be Han, Chavez, and we've got Kaz, Pomeranz, Sonny, Han, Chavez, Kaz. So then against the White Sox, Han, Chavez, Kazmir again. That's the next.
Well, the good news
games leading up to when we're hopefully doing the next podcast.
The good news is against the White Sox are second to last in runs scored. So
and Boston's really been struggling with their pitching too. So our offense should be.
And
able
Chicago
to hit.
Is not the greatest with their pitching stats either.
But
so
dude,
we
man,
have
that's what we said.
To,
that's what we said looking into this last stretch
hey,
of games.
Hey, we have an opportunity to turn this thing around against two subpar teams. We're gonna do it.
You think so?
I'm gonna say we take 2 out of 3 against Boston.
Okay. I can see that, man, especially with Kaz and Sonny pitching in that series.
We gain our confidence back in our bullpen with the dicey hitting of the Chicago White Sox, mm-hmm. and we take 2 and 3 against the White Sox, and we go 4.
And we go 4-2.
And 2. That's my call. Man, I think we turn it around. I think this is the week.
Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. I'm going to go 3-3. I think I agree. I think we take 2 or 3 from Boston. I don't know if Kaz is gonna struggle again or Pomeranz. I'm betting Pomeranz struggles. I'm betting we lose Pomeranz game. I'm losing faith really rapidly in Pomeranz. I think Kaz and Sonny
just doesn't have the control.
I guess I didn't realize, Joe, that Pomeranz completely abandoned his third pitch. Last year, like late last year and this year, he's a two-pitch pitcher.
So basically, he's
a fastball and a curveball. You know what I mean? And that just doesn't play. It's the same thing with Jesse Chavez. If Jesse Chavez is hitting his spots, he can be a Bartolo Colon. But as soon as that control erodes just a little bit and he has to start straightening out to get it where he wants, very hittable. And then I think Chavez struggles his next time around in the rotation, and I think that we
against
we
the White Sox.
Against the White Sox, yeah.
I don't know, man.
That's my prediction. I think we go 2-3 against Boston. I think we 2-1, and then I think we go 1-2 against the White Sox, and we're 3-3.
I think Kazmir wins both of his games. Uh-huh. I think Sonny Gray wins his game. And I think Jesse Han wins his game.
I'm hoping Han straightens it out because he really does have great stuff. And every start, even the one that... Well, that's not true. He's had a couple where he's legitimately struggled. But the ones lately where he hasn't done well at the end of the day, he started out really great. And then it's like the third time through the batting order. Or defensive miscues. He's had several defensive miscues behind him because he's such a ground ball pitcher. you know. So I, yeah, we'll see with Han. I hope he straightens it out.
I think it's a big week for us. I think it's a big week for us. If we could turn it around this week, I honestly think that there's still time. Look what happened to the Giants, man. Last year, and by the way, the Giants, but look what they did last year. They fell into a streak of May through June where they were just terrible.
I would say they were in a quite a large quagmire.
That's right.
They fell into.
But they were able to fix it, and I'm not saying we have the pitching that the Giants do, but they were able to sneak into that wild card game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get it done. If you can sneak into the wild card game, anything's possible.
But I think this week is important.
I agree.
Because these are two subpar teams that
At
we
home.
Can beat
with
and that
an
we
off
need
day.
To beat.
With an off
with
day.
An off day.
And I think that's big too.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. And you know what? We're doing the podcast again, you know? And that's what they were waiting for.
I know, man.
That's what they were waiting for. They're
going to get all excited and
so at the
divine intervention's going to come through.
That's
and
right.
It's going to be like Angels in the Outfield. By the way, the Angels.
The Angels, the Giants. This team, at the very least, has not been boring.
Mm-hmm.
In the least, they have not been boring. They've been a train wreck.
You got to check my pacemaker every
once
in a while.
Yeah, but they've not been boring. So, yeah, I like that we're ending on a positive note. I do think anybody who's listening, there are genuinely things to be positive about this team. Whether or not we fix them, I don't know, but we'll find out. There is a way out of it, and that's for our bullpen to just start figuring out how
come
to
come on bullpen
out.
Get it done, man.
And our offense to continue.
Get it done. Do you think if I send like the entire bullpen Ricky Vaughn glasses, do you think that will fix it?
I think it's worth a try.
I think I'm gonna try
that. I think
that.
It's worth a try.
Yeah.
Go
I gotta
ways.
Put the tape in the middle though.
Let's go Oakland. Let's get this ship turned around, right?
The Giants.
The Angels. Let's do this.
And whoever we're playing, because we're gonna win.
Yeah. Go A's.
Go A's.